Welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with your host, Dr. Kate. This is where your journey to burnout recovery starts. Are you feeling overwhelmed or like work has become unmanageable? Join me and my guests for open and honest conversations about burnout recovery from the comfort of the front porch. I am here to help you build your resilience and prepare you for burnout in a whole new way through a variety of perspectives. Move past the idea that burnout can only be addressed by avoidance and work to integrate recovery into your daily life. Relax, take a breath. The From Burnout to Recovery Show starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio and member of the Cornelia Stephanie Media Group. I'm your host, Dr. Kate, and I am really excited to invite you onto the front porch today as you're going to join us. Remember, as you are enjoying the show, to hit that subscribe button, give us a review, and be sure to download the KS Media Group app for all and access to me and all the world's best influencers in one place. Today, we are going to be joined by our guest, Tanya Valentin. She is a teacher, a women's archetype mentor, and author of two books. She helps midlife moms of teens and tweens have more choice, freedom, and possibilities so that they can create the life they truly want. Tanya lives in New Zealand with her husband, three teenage daughters, and a collection of free-range animals, including a mischievous goat named Kimmy. Tanya, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kate, for having me on.
Yeah, well, I am really excited to hear more from you and your story. So to get us started, if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and your burnout experience and your journey to recovery.
Well, I have been an early childhood teacher for about 20 years. And on top of that, having, you know, being a mum of three children, life just got very, very busy. And I think people don't realize sort of the pressure that a lot of teachers are under. Slowly worked my way up to management within the early childhood sector here in New Zealand. And, you know, sometimes some of these early childhood centers are like schools. You know, the last one that I worked for a few years back now, I was in charge of managing and leading about 25 adults and 100 children. So, you know, it gets really, really stressful. And, yeah. Also just, you know, teacher shortage and things like that play a huge part on your own mental health, your own physical health, your spiritual health. And so I found myself, I've actually kind of probably hit burnout a couple of times, to be perfectly honest. The first time was when I got to a stage where I thought I was just totally depleted and just didn't have any spark, didn't have any energy anymore. So I thought, oh, I know what I'll do. I will go and I'll go open a cupcake shop. So I did that, which was even more stressful because as a lot of people who own small businesses would know, especially in food and hospitality, you know, it's early hours. You're waking up at like 2 o'clock in the morning to get everything baked and ready for the day. And then when you come home at the end of the day, you're doing all the books, the marketing, you know, the payroll, everything. So it was just a lot. And I actually ended up in a place where I had clinical depression. I had, you know, gained heaps of weight. I just was just not enjoying life. And because of it, my business failed within 18 months. And I was back again teaching, which, you know, was not the ideal sort of situation. And it wasn't until, you know, I kind of started really, I suppose, I was looking at a lot of like external things to solve my burnout or solve how I was feeling on the inside. You know, thinking, oh, if I do this or I change this or I do all these other things, it will sort of helped me to feel better within myself, mm-hmm. Which I realized was actually not the case. It wasn't until I started doing some really deep inner work, some personal development on myself, started working with coaches and things, that I actually realized that, I actually had all the answers inside of me. And it was actually up to me to put the steps in my own life, or the things in my own life, for me to get better, rather than, looking to an external solve. And the other thing I didn't realize at the time when I was going through the burnout was that, I just thought burnout meant, I'm really tired, mm-hmm. or I'm really depressed, mm-hmm. or, that kind of thing. But I actually didn't realize that there was that sort of psychological link with burnout, mm-hmm. that some of the warning signs for burnout was that, I'm starting to see things a little bit more cynically now, or mm-hmm. I'm starting to blame a lot of people. Those sort of mental things, I didn't realize that those were sort of signs and symptoms of burnout. I've gone on such a big journey, really started digging into, how our brains work, how our bodies work, started sort of looking into some of the works of Carl Jung and the archetypes, and just, really being able to create a lot of awareness for myself just about my own behavior patterns, where, the things that I was just, the behavior patterns I was just cycling over and over again. And also just, I suppose, gaining awareness of what those early signs are for me, mm-hmm. and being able to recognize them and start putting strategies in place straight away to stop me from going, down the slippery slope. Mm-hmm. It's almost like burnout's a bit like hypothermia. There's that point where you can catch yourself and you think, oh, okay, I'm starting to resent people a little bit more than I should right now. Oh, okay, what's going on in my life? What do I need to do in terms of my own self-care, or my own, to stop me from going down this track? Able to just kind of manage myself a little bit better.
You've shared already so much, so many pieces that I'm like, oh, I want to hear more about this, and I want to hear more about this. But I think the piece that I first connected with right away, and I know our audience members are experiencing this too, is that thought that looking for an external solution to burnout, right? So it's, changing jobs or changing careers, or, bringing in, something else, not doing the internal work, I think is something that so many of us, I know I did it when I was first experiencing burnout. I think so many of us do that in looking for that external solution first, and then realizing oh gosh, I actually got to work on the inward pieces and those kinds of things. So I really appreciate you sharing that and bringing that forward. I would love to hear more about what you learned in regard to archetypes.
It was mainly it was just such fascinating stuff. And the biggest piece of the puzzle for me was around the shadow archetypes. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people, and I was like this at one stage in my life too, where I was really confronted by even just the mention of shadow, or because I would make that mean that I was doing something wrong, or mm-hmm. I was unworthy in some way. But when I was doing my, doing the inner work for myself, when I started discovering the different behavior patterns of the shadow archetypes, I started seeing myself in them. I started seeing those behaviors in them. And I realized that I was really falling under the influence of the wounded mother, you know, the selfless mother type archetype, where I was just overgiving and overgiving and overgiving and without any boundaries. And I had just totally immersed myself, or actually just lost myself. Like I, there was no self besides this mother type person. And it wasn't just in my personal life with my children that I was doing it. I was doing it in so many different areas of my life. I was doing it when I was leading people, you know, I was letting them walk all over me. I was concerned about what they were thinking about me. I battled to put in boundaries there. I would say to the people on my team, oh, you know, don't worry, I'll do it. And then be up till midnight doing their work for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I had awareness of that, I could then go, oh, okay, there's actually something that I need to fix here. But this is sort of universal to lots of people. It isn't just me. So that was a huge aha moment for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So listeners who are caregivers and who are helpers, and I know that is a lot of you. I know that I see that in myself too. Listen to this little piece in regard to the giving of yourself and when you have taken that a little too far. Tanya, what were some of the things that you started to do for yourself to like remove yourself from that archetype or separate from it?
I think, you know, there's a lot of like in terms of healing, I had to, first of all, look at the culture that I was brought up in and realize that actually I learned a lot of that selfless mother archetype behavior from my own mother, that this is actually a mother wound that was passed to me, not only by my own mum, but by how our culture in general looks at mothers. And also just, you know, in terms of being a teacher or a caregiver, you know, what that sort of, you know, you know, how we're perceived in that role. Mm-hmm. You know, even the judgment of mothers towards other mothers is huge as well. So when I realized that actually a lot of this was actually behavior that had been passed on to me by other people, I could then go back and think, okay, well, is that mine or is that somebody else's? And how can I challenge that? So I'm a huge believer in, you know, challenging those beliefs and deciding whether they actually work for you or not. Mm-hmm. So when I realized that I had a choice to change that for myself, that was huge. But also, I suppose, just taking baby steps, because, you know, sometimes it's very difficult for us to see the behavior that we're falling into and then think, oh, I should be here, rather than just, you know, for me, it was just, okay, I can take maybe an hour a day just to do something for myself. Or yes, it's okay to ask someone in my family for help. Or yes, it's actually, you know, detrimental to my children for me to do everything for them. Part of their learning is that I actually need to let them help around the house and do some of the chores, because one day they're going to leave and they're going to need to know how to do some of these things. So it's just sort of rewiring some of the thinking. And actually a huge tool for me has been the work of Byron Katie in the work, and just being able to use those four little questions to reshape my thinking. Like, is this true? Mm-hmm. And how do I behave when I think this? What would my life be like if I didn't have this thought? What's the turnaround on this? That has been hugely huge revelation for me as well.
Yeah, that is so. Is this true? Is one of my favorite questions to ask when I like feel myself spiraling in thoughts and those kinds of things, and I need to start a reframe. So I love that you have brought that into the conversation. I also really appreciate the piece of looking at where is this coming from? Like almost in terms of like, whose voice is this? You know, where did I learn this from? Who taught this to me? And kind of that piece, because I think it's so important that when we are thinking about our thoughts and challenging them, that we identify where the thought came from and whose voice is it in, you know, because if it's not in our own voice, then do we need to continue to think that thought or follow through with what that thought is telling us? And I think that that is an important piece. So I love that you have brought that into the conversation. Earlier, you mentioned like some of the indicators that you now find when you're kind of starting to feel on the road of burnout and, you know, kind of that piece. Talk a little bit more about those and how you now recognize them as almost those flags to help you know that it's like, ooh, this might be starting to feel a little burnouty.
I think for me, it's when I'm starting to feel like I've just, like my mind's too busy. It's usually the first red flag for me. And then I sort of think, oh, okay. And a lot of it is for me when I'm in that moment is actually just being able to do a bit of a brain dump and then be able to organize my thoughts. And I like to use the, I know there's a certain person that I should be referencing here, but it's basically a model where you put what is urgent and important, what's important, but not urgent, you know, that sort of framework. So being able to do that is really important for me during that time. And I suppose for me, it's just been engaging my witness thinking. So when I start feeling like I'm going into the victim or going into the judge, that is a huge wake up call for me as well. And I'm thinking, you know, when I start thinking, they should do this or I should do that. You know, then I'm like, oh, okay, my witness thinking has developed that I'm starting to think, oh, okay, yeah, there's something there. Or when I start painting myself as the victim and start making myself feel really powerless and think, oh, you know, this is useless, I can't do this, or I'm really hard on myself. That's another huge, big red flag for me. And then also just when I start being resentful of others, then I realize that is a huge red flag that my boundaries are out of whack and that I'm probably allowing people to, or I'm actually just taking on other people's things that I shouldn't be, or I'm allowing people to step into my boundaries. And boundaries have been a huge part of my journey, just being okay with boundaries, because as I said, with the selfless mother archetype, we don't have very good boundaries when we're under the influence of that archetype.
So with that boundaries piece, and so let's say we have an audience member who right now is like, oh, I'm hearing, like, I feel this, I know this is me, like, I don't have these boundaries, I need help with this. What were some of the first things you did to help yourself start to establish those boundaries?
I would say just start really, really small. We can't kind of, it's very difficult and it would feel very, very uncomfortable for somebody perhaps who has no boundaries to all of a sudden being totally boundaried up. So just, you know, create a small little boundary. And even if it is just a boundary within yourself, you know, because I think a lot of times we make promises to ourselves or commitments to ourselves about things that we are going to do, and then we don't follow through. So even if you're not creating external boundaries, perhaps just creating an internal one that you can stick to was a key piece for me. And then also just, I suppose, realizing, and this is kind of part of the shadow maiden type of archetype is that we don't have to actually please everybody all the time. We don't have to, it's not our job to make everybody happy all the time. And I suppose making peace with that that it's actually okay that, you know, that we're not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And that, you know, but I suppose that comes with growing and doing work as well. And realizing that the whole world's not going to fall apart because somebody didn't like us or because we said no. I remember as an early childhood teacher, and this is a little bit vulnerable, but when I was a leader in, I would go and tell people like something that I wanted them to do, but my boundaries were so bad that after I'd gone and said, I need you to do this, I would then come back to my office and I'd have like probably half an hour of panicking that these people weren't going to like me anymore. And I had to really resist the temptation to go back there and say, oh, no, I didn't mean that. It's okay. You don't have to do that. So I suppose just also recognizing that you are going to feel a little bit uncomfortable and that it is going to be okay. And I do really like a lot of Brené Brown's work on boundaries and how that makes you a more generous person. Yeah. And I suppose just observing that actually when I have good boundaries, I have less resentment. Mm-hmm. And it actually does make me, I am able to be a better mom. I am able to be a better leader because I'm actually coming from a place where I feel really grounded, really confident, and I have generous assumptions of other people.
Oh, I appreciate that. So many awesome like tidbits there. And I think the piece that knowing like start small and start with yourself. So honor the boundary that you've set with yourself or honor an appointment that you've set for yourself. And that helps you start to create those boundaries and those pieces. Know that it's going to feel a little uncomfortable as you learn how to do this and continue to practice this. And keep reminding yourself that it's okay that not everyone likes you. So hard, but yes, so important.
And I also think just recognizing, like someone once said to me at the beginning of my journey, that you are going to get some pushback when you put boundaries in because that's the way you've taught people to treat you.
Yes.
And so it's going to take a bit of time for you to re-educate them on how to treat you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like almost like the toddler type of scenario, you know, when you put in a boundary with a toddler and then they push back, but it's almost as if they're like, oh, are you really serious about that boundary? Mm-hmm. But once they realize that you are, then, you know, they respect it. And also I think another important thing for me about boundaries has been tying them to values. For me, like my top two values are respect and courage. And so I'm able to, if I tie boundaries to respect, you know, there's so many ways that I can tie that to respect, and respect for myself, respect for other people. So I think when you sort of become aware of your own values and you're able to tie your boundaries to that, it is, they're a lot easier for you to keep and to maintain.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yes. So important in terms of that piece. And I really appreciate you bringing forward like that you are re-educating someone on your expectations and how you want to be treated. And so they're going to have some resistance to that because we don't like change as humans. Change is hard. We don't like that. So I think that is so important. I am so appreciating what you are bringing to our conversation. And listeners, if you are as well, don't forget to subscribe, follow, review, and share this with someone else who probably needs to hear this message. So we want to make sure that you do that as well. Tanya, what is one piece of advice that you would offer our audience members?
Well, I suppose if, you know, if you're starting out, especially, you know, in recovery, mm-hmm. it's okay to ask for help. Mm. You know, especially if you are in burnout, mm-hmm. Part of, you know, who we are as women, as mothers, as caregivers, is we sometimes feel like we have to have the whole burden of responsibility on ourselves. And I know when I've surveyed my community and I asked, what is the hardest thing that you find, you know, the most challenging thing you find that you're able to do? And a lot of them say asking for help is mm-hmm. one of the hardest things. So, you know, I think just, you know, remembering that you're not in this alone, that, you know, because when you're in burnout, you feel really isolated. Mm-hmm. So, and it causes a lot of shame for you as well, because you just feel like, I can't tell people how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. Or people are going to look down at me because I couldn't handle this, or I couldn't do everything, or I couldn't live up to their expectation of who I am. And I should, you know, there's a whole lot of shoulds that come up mm-hmm. for you as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of feelings of being unworthy. And so, you know, being able to just say, hey, I need some help with this, is probably the first step. And, you know, that's another really key thing that I've learned mm-hmm. along my journey as well, is if I'm feeling isolated, if I feel like I can't talk to anybody, then I am probably in the grips of some mm-hmm. sort of shame behavior. And actually, even though my fear and everything about my brain in that moment is saying, hide, don't tell anybody, I actually need to do the opposite in that moment. Mm-hmm. I actually need to reach mm-hmm. out to somebody and say, hey, I'm struggling.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Just, that reaching out and asking for help is a courageous step, and probably a really important one that you're going to take when you are in burnout and need to get to recovery. So thank you so much for sharing that. Where can our audience members find out more about you?
So I'm really active on Instagram. So if people want to reach out and follow me, and, you know, DM me, my handle is Tanya Valentin NZ on Instagram. Or if people want to read my blogs or follow my podcast, then they can do that on my website, www.tanyavalentinauthor.com.
Perfect. Yes. And again, listeners, we will have all of that information and how you can connect with Tanya in the show notes. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I'm so appreciative for you taking the time to come and talk to us about your journey and the archetypes. And I know that our listeners are getting a phenomenal advice from this show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kate, for having me on. And it was such a pleasure to connect with you.
How amazing was it to listen to Tanya and her story and some of the indicators that she finds in her life when it comes to recognizing her own burnout. And I think that such an important piece when it comes to boundaries and starting to establish those in our lives. So let's move into our recovery moment. As always, I want you to be in a safe space, but today we're going to be doing something a little bit different. So this is actually an introduction to an activity that I want you to do at some point this week. I want you to set aside 10 to 15 minutes for yourself, come back to this, and actually create something, because we are going to be talking about how to open up your creative flow today. We're taking time to be creative during your day can build lasting benefits in all areas of your life. Creativity can boost self-awareness, relieve stress, and help you solve problems more easily. In addition, you can cultivate mindfulness while indulging your creative side. Do this exercise with your activity of choice, and remember that you can pause at any time and use this technique to encourage present time awareness. Get a blank piece of paper and a pen. If you want, use crayons, markers, colored pencils. That is even better. Set aside 10 minutes, perhaps setting a timer, if it helps you really dedicate to the time and practice. Bring your awareness to your experience in this moment. Feel the pen in hand, see the piece of paper, and notice any thoughts going through your mind. If judgment arises about your creative talents, notice them as they come up. Start drawing. You do not need to create a masterpiece. There is nothing wrong with stick figures and doodles. Draw whatever you want. It may be a happy memory, scenery, or something you can see right now. As you draw, notice what you are drawing. If it's a person, note that you are drawing a person. If there's movement, notice there is movement. Watch for any emotions that arise, exploring whether the piece is happy, sad, fun, beautiful, and so on. Take special care to watch for judgments. However creative you consider yourself to be, you may find the mind telling you that you are no good. Thank the mind for these contributions and continue drawing. After 10 minutes, put down the pen, look at what you've drawn, and take it in. Examine the lines, figures, and the overall piece. Again, notice the thoughts and judgments when they arise. You may choose to save the piece or not. The activity is the point, not the result. So when you have some time later this week, create and open yourself up to that creativity and see if it doesn't help and impact your flow a little bit. Remember that for more recovery moments, you can follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram, and be sure to subscribe to the From Burnout to the Recovery Show on YouTube, where I have recovery moments from the shows as well. I am so grateful to our guest, Tanya Valentin. Don't forget that you can also find me and other world's best influencers on the KS Media Group app in your app store. I'm so grateful to each of you for listening. Thank you for joining us on the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Kate, and I wish you peace on your journey. Thank you for joining me today on the front porch. And remember to download your free Burnout to Recovery Reflection Journal on my website, drkatesteiner.com. Be well, my friends. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Kate, on the From Burnout to Recovery Show, where you are starting your journey to burnout recovery. You are invited to join me on the front porch every second and fourth Friday of the month on transformationtalkradio.com to continue growing in resilience and integrating recovery into your daily life. If you would like to learn more or find out how to work with me, visit liftwellnessconsulting.com.